section's really empty. It's like a sign or something. Boys, I said this section's really empty. It's like a sign or something. Yay! Oh, you even got Rex. Oh, and Mr. Donahue. Awesome. Love it. Jared was up here, and I guess he was saying something to me, and I was staring directly at him, but I was completely zoned out the whole time going, why did I do this? Why did I ask for this? Why did Mr. Serrano say yes to this? Like, yeah, all the years I've done this, I still have not gotten over my anxiety of it and everything, so much fun. I actually had, earlier this week, a 24-point message. I've knocked it down to 12, and now I have to somehow get to 3 points that make sense here in front of you all, so, yeah. All right, sorry. All right, let's start in John chapter 15. All right, we'll start in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Let's pray. Great God in heaven, thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that I'm able to convey a good message, one that encourages and one that glorifies you and helps where it needs to help. And I just pray going forward, Lord, for all the brethren here, all our young men, young ladies, everyone, that, Lord, we continue to grow in you, walk in your light, and take everything from here that we can into our daily lives, you know, just being wonderful soldiers for you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the end part of this verse here, that one laid down his life for his friends, that was one from a very young age that I always tried to emulate, something that I always thought about because, you know, we grow up, especially as boys, like, we love superheroes. We love warriors, you know, the guys that go out there and they fight the battle and they save the day. You know, we're taught, like, the army, policemen, they're so awesome, because what are they doing? They're laying their lives down for everyone. So I always had that picture of that's what love was, you know, being willing to sacrifice yourself. I wish Roger was here, because I've got some, well, I'm going to go ahead and share them anyways. I've always had that opinion of, you know, you sacrifice yourself for someone else, and that's true love. And that's what we're supposed to do as men, you know, we're supposed to die for one another. With Roger, one of the very first times I ever hung out with him, we went to a basketball game at the Metro. It was like some big tournament or something. And keep in mind, to give you a picture, I don't think I had my growth spurt yet, so I was maybe like 5'7", 130 pounds, 125. And we need to go to the restroom. So we go to the restroom together. And there was literally probably 8 guys that came walking out of the restroom who said some very mean things to Roger. Okay. We were walking out and they were walking into the restroom, and I asked him, I'm like, what was that about? He's like, oh, these guys, they have a problem with me for whatever reason. Well, me, I'm like, oh, well, Roger's my new friend. You don't have a problem with him. So I went into the bathroom and called all 8 of them out, you know, stupid, right? I mean, again, I'm 130 pounds. Thank God they didn't want any of it and let me go. So, you know, because in reality, I would have lost that day, but I was willing to do that for him because that's what you do for friends. A couple months later, again, I loved hanging out with Roger because this stuff always happened with him. I don't know if he was too good looking or what, but guys hated Roger. So we're at the mall, and another 6 guys calling him out again, and they're blaming him for stealing a stereo from someone's car. Roger's never been a thief. Roger has always been a good guy. Like, that's just not his character. So I called all those guys out again. This time, one of them did want some, and he was probably 6'4", you know, just a big beast of a dude, and we had a great time out in the parking lot. I did win. But again, you know, there I was, just willing to fight, you know, willing to die. And I've got tons of stories like that for like Nathan and other guys. Dan Tuck can tell you some. I've always been willing to do that. Tanisha, she'll tell you stories too, and she hates it about me because I've gotten into so many different scenarios where I see something bad happening. Got to play the hero. Got to do what's right. Got to get involved. Poor Gabriel, we walked in the grocery store one day. Some guy was stealing a bunch of stuff out of it, goes running. I throw Gabriel to the manager, say, watch him, and I go chase the dude down, screaming out, I'm a cop, you know? And so, but yes, dying, being willing to die for someone is a form of love. Jesus did pay that ultimate sacrifice, and he did die for us, okay? But it's more than just the dying part, you know? Love is more than just that one thing. Love is being willing to live for someone, being willing to die daily for someone. If we go to... Sorry, again, I said it's all combobulated here. Yeah, let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. So we'll do 23 and 24. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. We see an example there of what Jesus is saying. He must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's actually really easy to die for someone. Again, we see people do it all the time and do it for strangers. How many people join up in the military and fight for some cause they know nothing about or are willing to... You know, firemen run into a building to save a stranger they've never met before. You know, someone, a medic who'd be willing to do mouth-to-mouth on someone who could have some sort of disease or something. People are willing to do that all the time. What people aren't willing to do so much, though, is actually live for someone. We see fathers do it all the time where they'll leave their family or mothers nowadays. When true love is spending every day in there, fighting that battle, sacrificing, picking up that cross where we're denying ourselves what our normal earthly nature would want, and we're changing it for something more where we are sacrificing for one another. That's something that I've learned since being a father really well, is to put my kids' needs before mine. Like, there's so many things, you know, I would prefer not to do. I would prefer to live under a bridge or in a car. Like, I've always had a simple life. I've always liked a simple life. I would love to go back to that. My wife and kids, though, they need a house. They need structure. They need three meals a day. I make that sacrifice for them. You know, and it's true. For me, it's a lot, though. You know, that's something that I would prefer not to do. But I love them, and so I do more. Speaking right now, I don't like the sound of my own voice. I have a lot of anxiety up here, but I'm starting to see, like, these guys, they like me for some reason. They really enjoy me. They want to be encouraged by me. They want to be around me. So, okay, so I have to start making different decisions in my life where I'm denying the things that I normally wouldn't want to do for you guys. I have to start doing things to encourage you guys and help you guys get to those next levels. And we have to do that for each other. You know, to be able to push each other. Sorry again. I have some water. In Mark chapter 12, verse 31, you know, Jesus says, giving those two commandments, the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This one's really great because we see also to love someone, we have to love them as we love ourselves. So we have to learn to love ourselves, to take care of ourselves. Part of that on that sacrifice end where I say I'd rather live, you know, in a car, under a bridge, whatever, because I did do that for years. I didn't love myself, you know. I didn't take care of myself. I didn't make sure I was fed properly. I didn't make sure that I had proper heat, you know, things like that. you want to make sure that you're on track with God. You want to make sure that the people up here are speaking truth and that you're learning truth. You want to make sure that whatever job you do, whatever business you go into, whatever, you know, school you're going to and learning things, that you're doing it in a way that is pushing you towards God. You want to make sure even like the things that you eat, the things that you drink, whatever, you know, TV and whatever you put into your body and your mind, that it's something that's helping you grow and grow towards God. So you actually love yourself. And then once you've actually loved yourself, then you're able to start loving other people. If you don't love yourself and you're drinking all the time, you know, you're taking drugs, you're skipping church, whatever, you're never going to fully love someone. You're never going to be able to help them get to this level where they need to be with Christ. Good friend of mine, Nathan, who I grew up with in here, he's not a part of here anymore. Nathan loves people. He truly does. You know, he's really nice, really kind guy. And I've seen him even still to this day try and push people to come to the church. Nathan, however, doesn't love himself. He's gained a drinking problem and refuses to come to the church. You know, and you see, because of that, these people that he's talked to, they've never come. They've never been able to come to the next place. And I throw that example out because, I mean, it's real. You know, he's a good friend of mine. I love him. I pray for him. I want him to come back. But for you guys, I want you to see that, like, if you're not taking care of yourself, it doesn't matter how much you love someone else. They're going to see that. Same thing with having kids. If I was telling, you know, my four boys or any of you, like, yeah, you guys got to go to church 3 times a day. You know, you got to pray. You got to do these things. You got to tithe, blah, blah, blah. All right, I'm going to the bar. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Like, what example is that? What's that going to set for you guys? You're not going to believe me. You're not going to want to follow in my footsteps of going good because you see, you know, I'm fake. None of it's real. So we got to love ourselves in the right way, make sure we're doing the right things and taking care of ourselves so that we can encourage the next ones going forward. Thank you for your patience. Let's see. Another great thing for the loving one another and helping keep each other on track is Roger. You know, I was willing to die for him. I was willing to die for so many people. Strangers, again, we see people do it. But what I wasn't willing to do was that daily love, that daily carrying of the cross. And I'm sure Roger would be okay with me sharing this because he's open about it. And I've actually mentioned this before many, many years ago while preaching. But Roger at one point went through some problems where he left the church for a while. And granted, I wasn't in the best, you know, condition in the church either. I was going through my own things. But if I would have been here, you know, carrying my cross daily, making the sacrifices, loving myself, making sure I was here, there's a good chance I might have been able to encourage him in a way that would have kept him from falling off during that time period. I would have been able to help him through that. And there's so many others that I look at and I'm like, man, you know, maybe if they just had that one more person who reached out and was like, hey, what's going on? You know, let me pray with you. Let me help you. Let me encourage you in some way, you know. Let's tackle this together. God put that in there for a reason. You know, we got Galatians 6, 1 through 2, where it says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we're supposed to, when others are suffering, bear that burden with them. Sacrifice ourselves, that true love of actually going and helping them. There's many times that I've seen, you know, other Christians tell other Christians, and things have gotten way better than when I was young. Our church was young. There was a lot of growth and everything. But I've seen where people were going through things, and they'd be talking to someone, and that other person would be like, well, how's your prayer life? Okay, pray about it. And then that was it. Which, yes, prayer, pray. You need to pray. But there is a point, too, where we have to sacrifice our time, we have to sacrifice our freedom and stuff and go, well, how's your prayer life? Oh, when can we get together and I can pray with you? When can we get together and discuss this issue and work it out together? When can I sit and encourage you? I really loved oh, what's the gentleman's name with the big beard from Bozeman? Phil Sutton, yeah, his message at family camp where he was talking about that friend of his, you know, who was getting off of drugs and he had to spend a few days with him, you know. That happens. When you kick heroin, and I can tell you guys, when I got off drugs, like that King Avenue underpass, when I slept under that thing those first few days, I was dying. Your body literally is dying. There are some people who do die because their body just shuts down when losing that stuff. It was so hard, so scary, and it's so easy to go right back in because you don't want to die. So Phil, doing that for someone, like, it's hard. It's painful to watch. It's gross. There's so much that goes on it with it. But that's that love. That's that sacrifice that we're supposed to do where it's like, hey, you know, I can't go to that ball game. Hey, I can't watch that marathon. You know, I can't do this, that, or the other. I have to bleed for this person. I have to bear their burden. I have to help them. And the reason that I'm, you know, preaching this right now and going through this is because, you know, you guys, a lot of you, you're getting to the age now where you're getting jobs. You're going out into the workforce. You're going to be going to college soon, you know. And the rest of you guys, you're right behind them and you're going to be going the same area. And I love you guys. And I want to make sure that you make it spiritually more than anything else, you know. Job doesn't matter if you move up in the corporate world. College doesn't matter if you make it all the way through, you know. And I mean, obviously, you're going to spend a lot of money. I hope you do it. I hope you graduate, blah, blah, blah. But all that matters is this. All that matters is your spirituality at the end of the day. So I would just want to encourage you guys with this, that it's so important for you guys to build real relationships that are based on God and His Word, and on, you know, this daily sacrifice for yourself, because you got to love yourself, and as for each other. You have to be there for one another. Again, you know, I use Roger's and mine's relationship as an example, because there was a point he needed a friend. He needed a strong friend in the church, and I wasn't there for him. Thank God he still came back and is here, but I should have been there for him. You guys are all going to go through things. You guys getting jobs, especially some of you probably going to get jobs in restaurant stuff. There is nothing as vile as a restaurant job. I've worked at them. They're filled with just crud of people. College, what is college designed for? To confuse you and prove that God's not real. Like, that's a scary thing. So, you know, having the people around you to encourage you and help you through it and keep you, you know, grounded in the Word and encouraged through it. I remember some of the stories because Luke and Mr. Cooper used to tell us all the time, like, it was a battle for their soul while they were in there. You know? So you have to be connected with one another. Good people that are strong in this Word. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Nolan went through some of this today, and, you know, it's really good because it's a great list of what we're supposed to do for each other. We'll start in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. So it's a great list, you know, telling us what we need to do for ourselves and for each other to be able to make it, you know. Let our love be without hypocrisy. Let's love truly and purely. Abhor what is evil. It's easy, especially in the world nowadays, like things aren't so veiled anymore. It's easy to tell what is evil and go, that is wrong. I don't want any part of it. I'm going to stand on this line. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to hang out with that group. I'm not going to do those things. Cling to what is good. Again, cling to one another. Cling to the people here. Cling to whoever. Like, again, you're moving to Bozeman, so it's going to be new people, which I know them. You've grown up with them. But you got to find some good people to love and cling to and build those friendships with like you have here. You know? But if you go through hard times and you don't have anybody, call one of us. I'll drive right up instantly. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Again, hitting that. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent spirit, serving the Lord. So make sure we're diligently, you know, praying, reading, memorizing, coming to church, building one another up, serving the Lord, doing everything we can to put this in the body first. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Persevering in tribulation, we're all going to suffer and we're all going to go through things. As you guys grow up, you're going to go through heartbreak. People are going to cheat you. Like, you're going to lose jobs, you know, money. All kinds of things are going to happen. And it's okay. Because at the end of the day, God is good. Jesus came, died, lived again. Made it so that we, you know, we get to be the temple. So you can persevere. It's great. Devote ourselves to prayer. God wants to hear from us consistently. Be always in prayer, always. I pray probably 50, 60 times a day. And I don't mean like sitting down, but I mean constantly. My mind's always going into prayer with God, always talking to him. Contribute to the needs of the saints. You know, Bud had a great thing on tithing today. Make sure you guys, you know, as you do make money, you are involved in jobs, things like that. Tithe where you can. Even more, sacrifice your time as well. Find out, what does the church need? What does someone in the church need? Give yourself. And as you do that, and you're working constantly for God, doing things like that, it's going to strengthen you so much, and it's going to strengthen your bonds to those other people, which is going to help keep you from stumbling, like I did, like Roger did, like so many others who have gone and not come back. I lost my spot, sorry. Practicing hospitality. Now, this is probably more for the rest of us who do have homes and things like that, but even, you know, when you guys get apartments, anything like that, be hospitable. Invite people over. Invite people you normally never would invite over. Try not to get in your clique. Yeah, we're going to have our favorite people. You always will. But one thing me and the wife started doing before we lost our home in 2020, and I wish we would have been able to go through it. We're starting to invite people over again, but we were going through the church list and slowly inviting people over because we wanted to get everybody over at some point. You know, spend time with people you normally never would, especially in the church. Build those bonds. I can tell you two people who are two of my best friends ever. Dan Tuck was someone who, you know, never would have thought to ever have hung out with. And then one day as a kid, I decided to start hanging out with him. Big, nerdy, goofy dude. One of the greatest hearts on earth. Loved the guy to death. Another one, Mikkel. For some reason, you know, I didn't like Mikkel when we were real little and stuff. And then one year I just decided, you know, I'm gonna try and become friends with this guy. We ended up working at Pizza Hut, dude. Winners. I didn't want to drive all the way out to Shepherd and stuff. He was living in the back of a furniture store. I'd go stay the night with him, and we'd just have great times. His family always had crazy work projects to do, so we'd go move furniture and all kinds of stuff together all the time. One of my best friends ever. And, like, we're so different, but we became so close after that. I do so much business stuff because of him. Dan Tuck, I do a ton of nerdy stuff because of him. So, again, people that totally weren't in my normal wheelhouse, they're my best friends. But we shared God, we shared ethic, and we were able to build those relationships, which is what you guys need to do. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. It's easy to rejoice with those who rejoice. You know, hey, you just got that new job. Hey, you know, this is going on. Hey, you've got some money. Let's go out to eat. Woo! You know, that's easy. No? It's good to do, though. You want to do it. We should celebrate each other's wins. Weep with those who weep. That's harder. No? Had a guy come into one of my businesses yesterday. His dad just had a stroke. You know, dude's a tough guy, tattoos on his face and neck, and he's crying, having a hard time. What do you say to something like that? You know? We talked about it. I shared, you know, my struggles, my dad dying, my grandma dying and stuff, and you know, we talked and I opened it up to let him know that I was spiritual and was like, hey man, I'm gonna pray for you. And I'm gonna tell my kids to pray for you, you know, and your dad. Like, just little things like that. We have people who suffer in here all the time. And it's important when you see them to go up to them and go, what's going on? Hey, I don't know exactly what to say, but can I pray with you? Can we go out to coffee and you can just tell me what's going on and I'll just listen? And you guys are going to want to do that stuff for each other as you grow, because you are going to go through things again. Like, life happens. It always does. I wish you guys could just be in a bubble, you know, until Jesus came and life was easy, but you can't. You know, you're going to go through things. You can ask Rex, you know, he's the oldest of all of us, and he's been through a million things, and he'll tell you, life's hard. But with the right people around you, people who love you and care for you, I didn't know. You're good. I love you, Rex. So yeah, I think, you know, that's about it. I wanted to come up here because, you know, Mike is leaving. Mike is someone I've grown very, very fond of. I love the dude. Dude, I cry every time I'm up here. What the heck? But I do, you know, like Micah, you become a very good friend. I love you. Gannon, you know, I love you. Tyler, like, you're all so awesome. The Williams boys, I want to see you guys make it. I don't want you guys to suffer the way I had, the way Roger has, the way, you know, Nathan, Paul Tuck, and so many others, they're out there suffering in darkness right now. Bond with each other. Bond with the church. Strengthen yourselves. Stay in this. Life will be so much better. It's going to be hard, you know. People are going to make fun of you. You might lose a job here or there. Like, is what it is. You know, none of that matters at the end of the day. What matters at the end of the day is if you and your battle buddy make it. So make it. And that's it.